Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." As Christians, it is essential for us to examine our hearts and motives for how we are living. How much of what you say and do comes from a selfless, Christ-centered heart of love? Let's open our Bible now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that we may better understand this agape, self-sacrificial love of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Sunday morning here in Texas, and it's just a good morning to be spending time with Jesus, to be loving on Jesus, to growing to know the love of Jesus, growing to not only know his love for us, but growing to love him more, growing to love him more with all our heart, soul, and mind. As Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love him, love the Lord our God, Jesus, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That ought to be the focus and the intentionality and the desire of all of our lives. So thank you, Lord Jesus. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Last time we did the introduction, it's the incredible, the worldwide known chapter on love. It's the chapter, again, that's most read at weddings, Christian and non-Christian weddings. Again, it's a chapter that's known to Christians around the world, and it's even a chapter that's quoted by non-Christians. So, again, we talked about last time that the last verse of chapter 12, verse 31b, so to speak, could be and probably should be, you know, a part of, you know, chapter 13. When I was studying for this and preparing for this, it was apparently broken up into chapters around 1200 AD, and then around 1500 AD, verses were added. I was looking up the history on, you know, when the New Testament letters were broken up into chapters. The original letters obviously didn't have chapters and verses. They were just a continuous, you know, letter and a continuous thought. And what I read on the history of this is around 1200 AD is when it was broken up into, you know, separate blocks or separate chapters, so to speak, and then around 1500 AD, verses were added. So thank you, Lord Jesus. But in chapter 12, verse 31, you know, the second half of the verse, Paul says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." And he's speaking about the way of agape love. Okay, we talked about last time that the love of our Heavenly Father is not a self-serving love. It's not a love because of. It's what's called in the Greek an agape love, a love in spite of. That the love of our Heavenly Father is an utterly selfless, self-sacrificial love. And that's the love of Christ, and that's the love we're called to emulate. So again, chapter 12 ends with Paul saying, "And now I will show you the most excellent way," because he had just been talking about gifts and prominent gifts and gifts that weren't as prominent, weren't as noticeable, and, you know, and the importance of appreciating those giftings that, you know, that aren't as noticeable on the outside. And we talked a lot about that. But he's going to go on to say now that all of these incredible gifts literally mean nothing. They're worthless useless if they're not operating in a heart of Christ-centered love. So, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you for this Bible. Father, we thank you for 1 Corinthians. Father, we thank you for this incredible chapter in verse 13. Father, we do ask you to open our hearts and to show us, you know, just the areas of our heart where we're not operating in Christ-centered love. Holy Spirit, I ask you to convict us. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to transform us, that we would live our lives more and more emulating you, Lord Jesus, desiring to be like you and laboring to be like you. Our heart, Lord Jesus, is to live as you did in unconditional love to our Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so now we'll turn over to chapter 13, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. Paul said, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." And we'll stop there. Wow. Okay. So, as you can see, you know, Paul is bringing the hammer here. Sometimes I talked to Stephen about this, and, you know, sometimes these teachings can be, you know, I believe they can come off, you know, sometimes too harsh, too heavy-handed. You know, and so I'm always looking to be discerning on, you know, on properly teaching the word of God, but using only the necessary tone that the scripture is using. When we're teaching the Bible, when we're reading the Bible, when we're studying the Bible, and certainly when we're preaching and teaching the Bible, we ought not to underplay it or overplay it. Okay. We ought to labor to study it so that we can, you know, we can truly understand the tone of the author. Okay. In this case, the Holy Spirit has inspired this word of God through the Apostle Paul. Okay. Paul doesn't know at the moment that he's being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay. He's writing a letter to the church in Corinth, the Christians in Corinth, where he had started that church 5 years ago. Now, he is being led by the Holy Spirit, and the words that he is writing here are inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. But he has a thought process just like you and I would if we were writing a letter or having a conversation. So when we read this, what do you think Paul's tone is? Okay. It's clear that he's serious, right? He's just come off in the previous chapter. And again, there were no chapters when Paul was writing it. It was a continuous stream, right? He's just got through talking about the importance of spiritual gifts, knowing our spiritual gifts, using our spiritual gifts, making sure that we're not just being caught up in being self-serving and using our spiritual gifts to have everyone look at us and how great we are and how wonderful we are. To make sure that we're appreciating those who have less prominent or less noticeable spiritual gifts. But he's going to turn over now, okay? And he's going to let the Corinthians know, and I think his tone here is pretty firm. He's not yelling, he's not shouting, but he is wanting to drive this point home. So again, when we're reading it, and we want to read it over and over and over, so that when we're studying it, and again, when we're teaching it, we want to teach it with the same emphasis or the same tone that we discern in our study Paul was using. Okay, so how do you think Paul was reading this? When you read it, when he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, I'm in a good number of Bible studies. There's a time where I could be in 5 or 6 different Bible studies in a week. And when asking people to read the scripture, again, the vast majority of Christians, you know, do not read it in this way. And again, it's because they're not reading it every day. They're not reading it to teach it. So this is a very good lesson for all of us. Okay. You know, when you read verses 1 to 3, if I was to ask someone in Bible study to read it, they would just read it as if they were reading everything else. Okay. But when you're reading it, you want to read it again and look for the heart or the tone of the author. What do you believe his emphasis would be? When Paul says in verse 1, again, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It should be fairly obvious to us that it's a serious tone, okay? That he's driving home a point, because the words are heavy. But if we don't read them with the emphasis that Paul gives us, you know, we can miss it entirely. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, Paul had just got through talking about in chapter 12 that the Holy Spirit will give gifts to the body of Christ. And one of those gifts is the gift of tongues, the gift of speaking, number one, a foreign language that you have never studied or never spoken before. Again, the Holy Spirit empowering you with the ability, say, to speak Chinese. Even though you've never spoken a word of Chinese, you certainly don't understand Chinese when you hear it spoken, but the Holy Spirit can give you the gift of tongues, the gift of actually speaking now Chinese and understanding what you're saying, and the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Someone all of a sudden is speaking to you in Chinese and you can understand what they're saying perfectly as if they were speaking English, and never have you understood a word or spoken a word of Chinese. That is a gift of tongues in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are also a heavenly or an angelic tongue, the way angels communicate with one another. And that's not a known worldly language. The Holy Spirit can empower you with that as well. There are gifts, supernatural gifts of speaking in a heavenly tongue. Again, not a known earthly language or an angelic tongue. Okay. They're incredible, miraculous, supernatural gifts given by the Holy Spirit. And we should be excited about it, right? That's kind of incredible. But what Paul is going to show us here is that we can't get caught up in just how exciting it is that we've been given the gift and the ability to do this, okay? The whole purpose of having this supernatural gift of tongues, okay, and the two different types I just explained, is so that we can use this gift, and this gift should operate with a heart of Christ-centered, agape, selfless, self-serving, self-sacrificial love. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Paul said, if I speak in the tongue of in the tongues of men and of angels, he's talking about himself now, but obviously he wants them to understand it. It applies to everyone. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, right? But have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What is he saying? If you could speak every known earthly language, number one, that'd be quite a deal. Now, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is Almighty God. He's not only known all human languages, knows them, he's invented them, right? So the Holy Spirit knows every single human language. He's God. He knows and understands every language that human beings speak on earth. And obviously he knows angelic language. Okay? And, you know, the Holy Spirit can, if he so desires, give you the ability to speak every known language on earth and every known language in heaven. He can give you the gift of understanding every single known language on earth. And I don't know how many there are. There have to be hundreds, maybe thousands of languages, right? And every language in heaven, the Holy Spirit can give you those gifts. Just think about that. That is quite a deal, right? But when I think about it just a little bit, when I think, if I could speak and understand every single language on earth, that'd be pretty cool. And you know what? I have little doubt I'd start showing off, okay? I really would, right? I mean, how cool would it be anywhere you go to just, you know, anywhere you are in the world or just wherever you live, speaking fluently to any people of any language. Now, in my own heart, I would be talking to them about Jesus, but man, I'd be kind of jazzed up about it. And I can very easily see that if the Holy Spirit gifted me to do this, there would be times, if not many times, of it being self-serving, meaning it would be so cool. I'd like it. I'd like the fact that people's like, whoa, look at this guy. I mean, I just saw this guy speak fluent Chinese, Japanese, Taiwanese. That, you know, the man spoke all the Asian languages. Then I saw him speaking the different dialects of Russian. You know. Then I saw him go over to, you know, he was in South America. I mean, he was speaking Portuguese perfectly in Brazil, you know, just perfect Spanish, you know. Then he rolled over into Europe, you know, and I mean, man, I just listened to him speak German. It was, again, I would dig that, truth be told, because, you know, I am shallow in that way. If the Holy Spirit gave me the ability to do that, which I have no faith that he will, I'd be happy if he gave me the ability to speak one language that I can't speak. And as far as I know, I don't have that gift or haven't had it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had this gift, the Holy Spirit undoubtedly probably has not given this gift out much because it's not being used properly. I've said before, the more that we properly use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us, the more that we not only use them, but the more we're purifying our hearts, the more we're looking to purify our faith, and the more we're walking and purifying our heart that it's in greater and greater love, I have little doubt that the Holy Spirit would give us more gifts. Because if I could speak all of these languages, Paul said, in heaven and on earth and understand them all, but have not love, and I'm not doing it with a genuine Christ-centered love, all you are is making noise. You're of no use at all. All of that incredible gifting, if not operating more and more in Christ-centered love, I am only a resounding gong. Wah, 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 wah. It's just a resounding noise. Doesn't mean anything. You could speak every language. You could speak angelic tongues. But if there's not a heart behind it, I mean, again, I can't speak any other languages. You could start speaking, you know, in heavenly languages. When you go to Africa, you hear these, you know, we've been twice, myself and one of the elders of the ministry, Jesse, And many of the parts we went to, they didn't have Bibles readily available. But what they did have was the Holy Spirit. And I heard men and women speak in tongues. And I do believe these were the kind of tongues that were a heavenly language or an angelic language. And I mean, it's incredible, right? And the men and then the women, you know, and the difference between them, you know, because what they are doing is they're, you know, they don't have the Word of God. We were bringing the Word of God as readily available, but they do have God, the Holy Spirit, and you could just see them really pressing into the Holy Spirit. Now, they were terribly lacking in the Word of God, and that's what we were doing there. That's what we do at Kingdom Discipleship. But you know, the tongues were incredible, right? I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if you've, you know, many of you may or may not have heard tongues. I mean, it goes something like Yeshua. And I mean, it would go on and on and on. And, you know, it would be incredible. And I do believe that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a good thing for us to operate in that. But obviously, you don't know what I was saying there. I don't know what I was saying, but it's a good thing. We want all that the Holy Spirit has for us, okay? Some people read this that Paul is, you know, is not being sincere when he says speaking in tongues of men and of angels. They believe he's using a heightened or exaggerated language to make a point, and that may be true. But I do believe that tongues are given for our edification, as Paul is clearly going to tell us in the next chapter, that we can utter mysteries that we do not understand, or others do not understand, with our spirit to our Heavenly Father. But again, all of these things are given and need to be in submission to love. How much of your life, how much of your heart, how much of your gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you are surrendered and being used in the love of Christ? Just saying it. And again, thinking about it in my own life, just going through my mind now, there's just certain room for improvement. There's room for repentance. Help us, Father. So again, I gave you the example. If this gift of you being able to speak other languages miraculously by the Holy Spirit, or even heavenly language, but if it's not done in love, if it's not with a heart of love, if it's not with the love of Christ, again, none of us are perfect as Christ, right? But there ought to be an aspect of love. It's completely self-serving, then it's of no use at all. You're just a noisemaker. A resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You're just a loud, annoying, useless noisemaker if it's not done in love. And so the language is firm, right? Paul is again wanting them to understand this, that all these incredible gifts, again, need to operate in love. Look at verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy, being able to have knowledge and understanding, being able to preach the word of God, you know, like Jesus, right? Being able to preach the word of God with the most supernatural giftings ever. Now, Jesus is God. He is the word of God. But if I have the gift of prophecy, verse 2, and can fathom all mysteries, only our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit know everything. But let's say you did. The Holy Spirit could impart to you a gift of prophecies where you could fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. Wow, right? Be kind of cool. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Wow. So again, you see the language. Paul wants, again, he's using very forceful language so we can understand that our love cannot be self-seeking, okay? When we read in verse 5, and, you know, we're going to begin next time to go through each of these, the famous verses 4 to 8, But in verse 5, Paul is saying, love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Okay? So, again, if I have the gift of prophecies, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. The Holy Spirit has gifted you to know everything. All the mysteries about God, about your heavenly Father, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the Trinity. All the mysteries they know, you know. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, if the Holy Spirit imparted to you an immense supernatural faith, which is a gift, right? All of us have been given a measure of faith. And we can, again, our faith needs to be purified and grow. But there's a supernatural gift of faith that's not the faith of salvation that the Holy Spirit can give to you because he's called you to do, you know, something that requires just a supernatural, immense faith, a supernatural trust and belief, right? And if I have a faith that can move mountains, literally, okay? Now, again, not just mountains in your life, not just metaphorical mountains. Imagine if the Holy Spirit gave you a faith that you went out somewhere and you were looking, you know, at, you know, some small or big mountain. And you actually had the faith. You actually were given the faith that you believed that you knew when you spoke to that mountain and said, mountain, in the name of Jesus, move. And you move your hand and the whole mass of rock just moved to the other area. I could go out and do that. You know, I might have tried that when I was a kid. Or a newer Christian. Didn't work though. You know? Right where I was pointing at the mountain or the trees or whatever. In the name of Jesus, move. My faith wasn't that big. Okay? The Holy Spirit didn't give me that. Now again, you know, when Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to here. Certainly that's true. Jesus could have a mountain be uprooted and put into the sea. Literally. But again, the Holy Spirit will impart faith to us sometimes to move mountains or difficulties in our lives, right? Metaphorical mountains or difficulties. But the point here, right? Again, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing. That's a hard word, okay? That's how important it is that we're living in Christ-centered love for Jesus and for others. Because again, all of these things that I do, if it's not coming from a growing heart of love, then it's nothing. Now, many people will say, listen, you know, and this is one of the mistakes we want to really avoid. Just because you don't feel love in your heart for something doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. Okay, this agape love, and by the way, every time, I studied this morning, every time the word love is used in 1 Corinthians 13, it's the Greek word is agape, okay? It's the love, the unconditional, unmerited love of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Every single time it's used. Okay. The word phileo is not used for love, which is a brotherly love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. The word storge is not used, which is like a family love, right? For your children and things like that. And the word eros, which is an erotic or sexual love. That's not used. Every time it's used, it's the word agape. And again, agape love is, it's not a feeling, okay? It's a choice. So when you don't feel like doing something because you don't feel that feeling of love in your heart, but yet you still choose to do it because you know it's what's right, because you know that it is loving to do it, even though you don't feel like it, that is when you're walking in genuine Christ-centered love. Remember, agape love is not a love that acts because of, but in spite of. It's a love that's not looking for anything in return. It's not a love that's acting out of some tremendous feeling, right? Like when you're in love with somebody and you want to do things for them, but you're being driven by this biological emotion. That's not what this is. Now, as we grow in agape love, yes, we'll grow in this feeling as well, okay? But it's important you understand that you want to choose to walk in love even when you don't feel like it. And that's an agape love, right? In verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. You could be martyred. You could give your life for Jesus, but if it's not in love, it doesn't benefit you. If I give all I possess to the poor, you could be the most generous person there is. You could give every penny you have in serving the poor. But again, if it's not done with a selfless heart, Paul says, I gain nothing. Now, again, I'm going to close here, but it's important you understand growing in this kind of love is a lifelong process. Okay. Most of the time I do things when I'm doing things that I'm doing because I know it's right. Oftentimes I don't feel like doing it in my heart, but I'm doing it because I know it is the love of Christ. I know it's what my Heavenly Father would have me do. I know it's the Holy Spirit convicting me to do it. So again, it's not about how you feel, right? If you're giving to someone that's needy, you don't have to look and say, well, I don't have a great heart to do this. If you do it anyway, that is genuine love. Now, if you're giving to the needy because you want the needy to think that you're a wonderful and generous man and woman, and you want them to talk about you all the time, and you know, you want them to do something for you, well, then you know, you simply repent about it. So again, you want to begin to examine your heart, and we're going to unpack this more and more, and just simply repent. I'm going to pray now and just repent, but you want to continue to make an effort to walk in these things. And continue to little by little clean up the areas of your heart where you see that you're self-serving and where I'm self-serving. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy and goodness on our lives. Father, I do ask you to forgive me. I ask you to convict us, Holy Spirit, of just areas in our life where we are self-seeking. And it is not love, for love is not self-seeking. Just forgive us where we're doing charitable things or thoughtful things, or we're using our spiritual gifts more in service to ourselves and our own ego in our own situation than we are to others. And I ask you to show us where that is in our hearts. I ask you to convict us, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, cleanse us of this unrighteousness in your blood, and help us to walk, Lord Jesus, emulating you and a genuine Christ-centered love for you, Lord Jesus, and for others. Holy Spirit, seal this to our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.